Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Pastor Richard did say that I'm a young man, but I'm 27. I'm starting to get old. I'm 28 this year. My wife's 29. We're definitely feeling it this year, for real. I went to youth camp this year and felt old. Usually I've been young and like encouraging the pranks and all of that, but this year I was like, guys, go to bed. Please, it's time. Have some sleep. But no, it's good to be in the house. You guys ready to receive? Come on, let's just pray. Father, we need you so much. Holy Spirit, come and move inside our hearts. Come and touch our souls. God, we don't want to leave the same way we came in. We need you to do something significant today. God, we're ready to receive. God, we're in a position where our hearts are open. God, we want to see you move in this place. And if everybody agrees, let's shout amen. Amen. Awesome. Yeah, youth camp was incredible. Who's fired up, teenagers, youth leaders? So amazing. Honestly, the power and the presence of God was there. It was incredible. So many teenagers who are going back to school next week, I believe, or the week after, they're going to change their schools. They're going to set the whole high school on fire, reaching people for Jesus. So I just want to honor all the parents and all the families that sacrificed to get those registrations in and prayers that went out. Because I tell you what, Nathan and the team, they did an incredible job. So let's get up for all our youth leaders as well. But it was incredible. But New Year, New You series has been great. I've been loving it. We've had so many great sermons. We've had New Year, new perspective. We've had New Year, new design. New Year, new closeness. New Year, new lease. New Year, new expectation. We had Pastor Paul Cardillo even preach on New Year, New Middle last week. Great message. And today I want to preach and wrap our series up on New Year, New Position. Because we don't want to come into 2019 leave 2019 the same way we came in. And if we get in a new position and a new posture before our Heavenly Father, ready to receive, ready for God to do something in our lives, we're going to have an incredible 2019. Do you believe that? So we've been inspired, we've been motivated, this series has been incredible, but today I'm going to get fairly practical and I want to challenge us. Is that okay? I just want to get consent today to be able to challenge you. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who's ready to be challenged? Yeah? We're ready for God to do something in our hearts, because I would hate for us to come to church I'm just coming. Let's get ready to be challenged. And I'll tell you what, God's challenging me. God's going to challenge all of us this morning to go forward in our faith and take on this year in Jesus' name. You know, being in the right place at the right time is often all you need. I was at the footy show one year and they were giving away a free car. And that way it was upper and it was lower. And so they were like, all right, I was in the upper section because I couldn't afford the lower section, just like many of us. And just kidding. And so I was in the upper section, right? And they were giving away this free car, and the guy would go around and he would say, upper section, and then section C. And that was my section. And then it was my row. And so I'm holding on for dear life. I'm about to win this car. But how many of you know I didn't win the car? Because I wasn't in the right position at the right time. Has anybody ever won something crazy? Few people, but no, not many. Not too many people have done it. You know, I was out the front of Autobahn one time. Found a $100 note. How awesome is that? Not a pineapple, a lime. A green note. Hands up, who would have taken it and just ran off? You can be honest. Come on. The good young 17-year-old guy I was, I handed it into Autobahn, gave it to the manager. But you know what? I also gave him my phone number and said, look, someone doesn't, you know, come to collect it. Here's my number. Give me a call. 2 days later, I got a phone call. Actually got the $100 note. How awesome is that? But I tell you what, it was all about being in the right position at the right time, ready to receive. One time I was in the wrong position. In the spirit of summer in Australia and the Australian Open, I used to be a ball boy. It was honestly one of the best experiences of my life. However, they serve very, very hard. One of the fastest serves ever, Arthur, correct me if I'm wrong, is something like 256 kilometers an hour. 263 kilometers an hour by Sam Groth. Thank goodness this day he wasn't playing, but I got hit in a rather particular area with a 200 kilometer serve to the point where play stopped because of me. This was a live Australian Open match, like fourth, fifth set. Things are going down to the wire and I'm on all fours just like trying to catch my breath. I was in the wrong position at the right time. Pastor Richard and I were in LA one time. And this man, again, a chance to win $50,000, I think it was. He had to make a shot from half court. Oh, it was incredible. How good was it? Out comes, I'm just describing who this man was, this Asian guy. He didn't look like he played much basketball in his life. And so he grabs the ball and the whole LA stadium, they were just like, yeah, all right, whatever. We do this every week, whatever. This guy takes a few steps back. Halfway is at the end of the stage, right? A few steps back. Trips over. Oh. Gets back up. It's going. Swishes it in. $50,000. Los Angeles Staples Center just erupts. Goes absolutely crazy. That guy was in the right position at the right time. Amen. You know what? God is looking to move in your life, but often we're not even ready. Often we're not in the right position. Often we're not ready for God to move, ready to receive what God has for us. There's a guy in the Bible, and I'm going to read this story to us in Luke chapter 1. It's the story of Zacharias. And I'm going to read a little bit of scripture, but I want you to get the spirit of the story. You guys with me? Because this guy was in the right position at the right time, and he received this miracle from God. Starting in verse 5, it says, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandment and ordinance of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. So here's a man who needs a miracle from God. They both need a miracle. Verse 8 says this, and so it was, that while he was serving as a priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, basically to go into the presence of God. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But get this. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Let me just pause there. If you want to be great, you need to do things that other people aren't doing. Yeah, right. For he will be great, but there's going to be a sacrifice. Because yeah. Other people will drink strong drink. Other people will drink wine. But John is going to be great. It's going to be something different about him. He's going to be stamped. He's going to be marked. He's going to be great in the eyes of the Lord. And this isn't a message about don't drink. It's a point about if you want to be great, you need to do things that other people don't do. Any young people out there feel called? You need to do things that the other teenagers aren't doing. Young adults, you feel you're called to greatness? You need to do things that are different, that are set apart from what the rest of the world are doing. Sorry, I got distracted. Moving right along. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So from one end of the spectrum, there's no hope. They're believing for a miracle. But then Zacharias is in the house of God, serving God, loving people, doing the right thing. He's in a position ready to receive, and he receives a miracle. Not only does he receive his miracle, but he receives an incredible, amazing miracle. But not only are they going to receive a son, but he's going to be great. And he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from inside the womb. How amazing is this? But I tell you what, Zacharias was in a position to receive a miracle, and he got his miracle. Verse 18, and Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." 19, and an angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day of these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And so you read this and you're like, what a cruel God. Zacharias is going to be mute for 9 months. He won't be able to speak. But I love what God did here, because a miracle was coming, but Zacharias didn't have the faith for it. He didn't have the faith for it. So God said, you're not going to be able to speak for 9 months, because if your doubt creeps in and you speak doubt into the situation and you start to tell Elizabeth that I don't think this is true, and she begins to believe it, and then the people outside that were praying for you begin to hear that, look, this is what God said, but we're old, we're barren, it's not looking likely. Are you sure this can happen? If we begin to speak doubt over our miracles, and this was greatness. Greatness was coming. And so God said, hey, it's going to be tough for you, Zacharias, for 9 months being mute, but I'll tell you what, it's worth it. Because the miracle that is coming is going to be a great miracle. It's going to be a great miracle. Let's not talk ourselves out of the good things God is doing in our lives. No matter what's going on, no matter how far-fetched it may be, God can do anything in the name of Jesus. But I tell you what, although this happened to Zacharias, what a man of God. He received this miracle because he was in the right position before God to receive something. My very first time I preached was a communion message at Lifehouse Church. I'll never forget the time that Sophie Villaris called me up. Pastor Richard's PA, and said, "Dave, we would love you to do a communion message at church." I don't know how old I was. I think I was maybe 16, 17. And I couldn't believe it, because I'd just finished reading my Bible and had read a scripture and thought, that would be a great communion message. I'll never forget this moment, because I was a young Christian. And it was one of the first times I was like, God is real. This is awesome. God is, he's here. He knows what's going on. Read this verse, I'm like, that would be an awesome communion message, man. I might hold on to that for maybe 2-3 years when I get a chance to preach. Not even 10 minutes later, the phone call rings. But I had gotten myself into a position for God to do something. I got myself ready for God to do something. And so I wonder what you're believing for. What's the miracle you're seeking from God? I look around at Jesus, and every time a miracle happened, it was because people were ready to receive from Jesus. Get this, the X factor is not God's power, it's you. Because God has the miracle. God can do the miracle. God's power doesn't fluctuate. It's the position of our heart and our readiness to receive that changes day to day. And right now, it's a new year, new position. Every day, God is looking to do something incredible in your life. I don't know what it may be. I don't know what your miracle is. I don't know what your breakthrough is. I don't know what you're hoping, praying, and believing for. But I tell you what, if we're in a position every single day to receive from God. There was a woman that touched Jesus' garment, pushed through the crowd and just touched him, got herself in a position to receive. She'd been struggling with an issue in her body for 10 to 12 years, yet she got down on her knees and touched Jesus, and she was healed in an instant. How awesome is that? Zacchaeus climbed the tree. He pushed through the crowd, got up into a sycamore tree so he could get into a position to receive from Jesus. He showed hunger, determination. He showed that he was ready to receive what God had for him. Bang, and a miracle came. There was a woman that had a bottle of perfume. She came and she knelt down at the feet of Jesus and wasted at the disciples' thought on his feet and anointed his feet and said, "Jesus, I love you, you're amazing." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you this day." But she had got herself in a position to receive a blessing from Jesus. All throughout the Bible, people got themselves in a position before God to receive. There was even a guy that was lowered through a roof right in front of Jesus, desperate to receive a miracle. But I'll tell you what, the position he got himself led to him receiving his miracle. And so I want to encourage us, inspire us, let's get into a position and a posture where God can move in our lives. Are we ready to do that this year in Jesus' name? Come on, so good. You know, the people I see getting their miracles are always in a position where God, because they're in a position where God can move. And this is part of my job, figuring out how people get miracles. As a pastor, would I be right? And so talking to people and doing life with people and saying, what's God doing in your life? What's going on? Every time someone receives a miracle, it's because they've been in a position to receive. Yeah. I can tell you for a fact, the last three times that I've heard the voice of God has been because I've been in a position to receive. The last two times has been in church. Once a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday service, God spoke to me so clearly throughout the sermon. Honestly, I've been praying about something and God just spoke to me. Sorted that issue out, gave me advice, gave me what to do. How awesome is that? But I'll tell you what, I was in a position to read. At summer camp, as a guest preacher was preaching, God just dropped something into my heart. I just knew, God, you're speaking to me right now, aren't you? You're speaking to me right now, aren't you? At the third time, when God spoke to me, I was reading my Bible. Thing is, God is always speaking to me. Yeah. It's just a matter of when I'm listening. And so when I'm in environments and atmospheres that are honoring God, faith atmospheres, atmospheres where my attention is fixed on Him, God is able to download and impart things into our lives. It's crazy. We need to position ourselves in His presence. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it's a story of Mary and Martha. I want to read it to you. Verse 38 says this. It says, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away. See, the truth is that Mary, that's right, was busy and just Martha. Man, this is tricky. Jesus answered to her, Martha, Martha, you were worried and troubled. Martha couldn't have been like Jane and whatever. Martha was distracted and disfocused. She didn't have herself in a position to receive from Jesus. I don't think she was doing anything wrong in particular. Would you agree? She's doing a great thing. God bless her. But Mary was in a position to receive from Jesus, and she did. At the feet of Jesus. And I want to encourage you to position yourself in the presence of God, because that's where you're going to receive. I believe wholeheartedly, yeah, give God some praise, come on. I know for a fact that God is moving constantly. God is speaking constantly. God is ready to throw out and deliver miracles all the time. But often we're not in a position to receive. And so God, if it was to deliver them, we wouldn't even be there to receive them. But I tell you what, positioning ourselves in the presence of Jesus is going to be incredible. The truth is, and this is where the challenging part comes, myself included, I've never heard God speak to me while Netflix is on. I'm just being real. Maybe He has for you, I'm not too sure. But just make sure He has and you're not just saying He has so you can keep watching. He's never spoken to me when I've been binge watching a Netflix series. Never, not once. But I know where God does speak to me when I position myself in His presence. And so many people are like, how do I hear the voice of God? You need to get all these other voices out of your life and position yourself right under His presence. Because the media is speaking to us, Netflix is speaking to us, the world is speaking to us, but God is speaking to us. But it's just a matter of where are we positioning our ears? Where's our attention being focused? Who are we actually listening to and letting into our spirit? Getting ourselves in a position to receive is listening to worship over the radio. So often I'm tempted just to turn on the radio and just see what's going on, but then I realize, hang on a minute, God could do something right now. And it might be mundane and driving to work or driving to the shops or whatever it might be, but getting a positioning yourself in His presence, all it means is turning off the radio and turning on some worship. And beginning to sing about Jesus and just beginning to get into that presence where God can speak to you. You know, it's hard to hear from God when we're listening to negativity all day. When we're letting the words of our colleagues get into our ears. The people at work or university or whatever's going on. It's hard to hear the pure, amazing voice of God when we're positioned and focused on things that aren't His voice. One of the best pieces of advice anyone's ever given me, in fact, can be given on this earth, is surround yourself with good people. Surround yourself with people that are speaking life into you. Position yourself in an atmosphere that God can speak through other people. Position yourself in the house of God. Come on, give yourselves a massive round of applause. You're living and breathing this message right now. You could be anywhere right now, but you said, I want to position myself in the presence. In the presence of God, because I need God to do a miracle. I need breakthrough. I want God to speak into my situation right now. The best place to be is church. I'll tell you why, because we're talking about Jesus. We're singing about Jesus. We're thinking about Jesus. We're praying about Jesus. It's hard not to hear from Jesus. Because He's everywhere you look. And there's people beside you thinking about Jesus. There's people to the other side of you praying to Jesus. And so the best position you can be in is the house of God, just like Zacharias was. And I tell you what, he received his miracle. He received his breakthrough. What are you believing for this year? What are you believing for this week, even this month? What's going on in your world where you're saying, God, I need something from you? I tell you what he's saying, get ready to receive. Get into a position and a posture, because I'm about to pour out what you need right here and right now. To be honest, as a Christian, the only reason to skip church is... Just give me a second. I don't know. I don't know. And I'm not saying that in a religious way where if I don't go to church, God's going to, you know, Zeus me or whatever it is, or I don't know, punish me or... You understand what I mean, yeah? It's because, hey, I don't want to miss out on what God has for me. I don't want to miss the things that God's pulling out. I don't want to miss a single Sunday talking about Jesus, singing about Jesus, praying about Jesus, hearing from Jesus. Because right now, I hope we're distraction-free. I hope we're able to blot out what's going on in the week, the business deal tomorrow. I hope we're able to spend 90 minutes focusing on the presence of God. Yeah. Being a Mary and just getting before Jesus, hearing from God, seeing what He has. Again, that's not in a religious way. Don't skip church, mate. Two services. Hands up, people that go to two services every week. All you're doing is getting in two positions every Sunday to hear from God. When we open up our word every morning, in a position to hear from God. Showing God, God, I'm ready to receive. I'm starting off my day by marrying it. In a position ready for you to do something in my life. No credit to my mom, because when my brother and I was 16, he was about 14, she didn't really know what to do with us. She was struggling a little bit as a single mom at that time. But to tell you what she did, she just dragged us to church. At that stage, she just dragged us by the scruff of the necks. She was much stronger than us at that stage. She probably still is. But she just said, God, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to position them in the house, in your presence. Because you got to help me. You got to do something in my kids' lives. And I think it's worked out okay. I'm passionate about my God. My brother is also, we love him. We're passionate. We're serving him. We're going for him. But she just positioned us in his presence. And God was able to do great and mighty things. I want to honor a mum in our church. Her name's Jennifer Kutija. And she's got two young boys. Yeah, give her some. But we had vacation this week and she gets this. She lives and breathes this message because they were on a family holiday. But she said, my kids are not missing out on vacation no matter what. Because she understood the principle of positioning yourself in the presence of Jesus. And so she paid extra money to fly them back from Queensland to get them down to Melbourne on Monday so they could be at camp and not even miss one single session of summer camp. How crazy is that? And so what a perfect example of just positioning ourselves in the presence of God. Here's a mom saying, God, I want my kids to go for you. God, I want my kids to put you first. God, I want a miracle. That miracle is my kids loving you, chasing after you, being passionate about you. And I tell you what, those boys love camp. They heard from God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they're going to have an incredible 2019. But it's all about positioning ourselves in the presence. Teenagers had vacation. Us older people, we have conference. Conference is strategically placed March 1st. February, back to school, everyone's back into things. But then at the start of the year, positioning ourselves and our hearts in the presence of Jesus. And so I want to tell you something. I told you I was going to challenge you today, didn't I? I made you sign a waiver before I started preaching. If you're serious about your faith this year, if you're serious about what you want God to do, if you're serious about receiving a miracle, conference is a must. Conference is an absolute no-brainer. Because I tell you what, there is going to be, including the Sunday of church services, there's going to be four or five, six moments of worship, six sermons. Hanging around with good, godly people, electives that are going to inspire you and challenge you and help you grow. If you're serious about your faith, you'll register for conference today. Even if you don't have the money, you'll step out in faith and say, God, I'm positioning myself. So now I need you to move, God. I need you to do something in my life. And that's why I'm so pumped about conference. It's going to be incredible. Get yourself there in Jesus' name. You know what? It's not only about the position we put ourselves in, it's also about the posture. It is also about the posture. Exodus 17, starting in verse 11. Let's talk about Moses for a moment. Verse 11 says this, and so it was. When Moses held up his hands, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat in it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Moses had a posture of winning. Moses had a posture of victory. Moses had a posture of breakthrough, of God doing great things, of miracles coming through, of addictions being broken, of battles in your life being won. He had himself in a position, but his posture was, God, I surrender. His posture was, God, we're going to win this victory. God, you're going to break through. God, we're not going to be overcome. God, we're not going to be defeated. God, we have the victory. To the point where he was praying and believing so much that he got tired. But it was so important. He had a posture before Jesus, before God his Father, of victory, that the guys got around him and said, we're going to hold your hands up. We're going to hold your hands up. You know what? Let's not over-spiritualize this. You know what this scripture is a picture of? Literally, life group. That was Moses' life group. Guys got around him and said, keep fighting. Keep believing. Keep that posture of praise and worship up high in the sky. Mate, I'll tell you what, it was God was moving, but that was just good people getting around him and saying, keep going. Keep believing. Keep believing for breakthrough, your miracle, because it's going to be powerful. I've got a picture I want to put up. And it's actually of this device that aligns your spine. It's this thing, right? And this particular one I think is for exercise, but they also have these ones that you strap, you put it on your back and it goes around your arms before you go to work. So when you're working at a desk, you're not like this all day. Does anybody use one of these? No, not very fashionable. Chris O'Bree does. Awesome, eh? Why? Because he squats about 350. But there's this thing that ensures that your posture is healthy. It ensures that your posture is correct. It ensures that your posture of your spine stays nice and strong. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see a man as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so the question I want to ask is, what is the posture of our hearts? As we head into 2019, believing for greatness, chasing after the dreams God's put on your heart, breaking the chains and pursuing what God has for you, leaving behind the things of the past and the things that have been holding you back. What is the posture of our heart? Because I can tell you what, you can come into church like this, but still not have the right heart posture. You can open up your word every morning and just be doing it for the sake of it. The most important thing this year is getting your heart in a posture before Jesus, because then you're going to receive. Moses had a posture. Let's have a heart posture ready to receive from Jesus. What realigns our heart? This thing that was there realigns the spine. What's going to help you realign your heart this year? I'll tell you what it is, your Bible. Every single day, read the word. Whether it's at morning, at night, on your lunch break, wherever it is, because I tell you what, as you do it, it's going to realign the posture of your heart. You're not physically putting it on, but your heart's being realigned to the good things of God. All the negativity that's crept in and sunk into your heart is being pushed out. It's being realigned back to the things that God has for you. As people speak things over your lives, you're hearing what God's speaking over your life. That way, the posture of your heart is always ready to receive from God. It's always ready for God to do something in your life. Worship is such a powerful thing. And that's why I encourage you, wherever you can, as often as you can, worship. Because I tell you what it does, it's slowly just realigning your spine. It's slowly realigning your heart before God in the presence of Jesus. Is this making sense? The truth is that you do not want to be a hunchback Christian walking around like this in the spiritual. Oh, God doesn't, you know, I don't know. Haven't heard from God much. We don't want to be Zacharias where God's positioning himself, but his posture wasn't right. He was halfway there. He positioned himself in church, but he wasn't ready for his miracle because his heart was filled with doubt. His heart was filled with disbelief. He was looking at his natural circumstances, not the greatness of his God. And so as we position ourselves in church today, are we coming expectant? Are we coming ready for God to move? Are we coming excited about this new year, new you, that God's going to do something? God's going to change you. God's going to shift something in your life. Truth is, Jesus couldn't do many, many miracles in his hometown because there was a posture of familiarity. He went to his hometown and wanted to do great things, but they said, aren't you just Jesus, the guy that grew up down the road, the son of whatever, the brother of whoever? They were so complacent with who Jesus was. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords could not do many miracles except a small few. Imagine what the town missed out on. Jesus wasn't doing too many tours. He came to Australia, only did Sydney and Melbourne. This town was privileged enough for Jesus to come. But I tell you what, the posture, they weren't ready for it. Because they were just complacent with God, with church, with worship. Come on, let's kickstart that today. I want to encourage you, and if this is the only thing you leave with today, do not get complacent with Jesus. Do not get complacent with church. Do not just come into this place expecting nothing from God, but get ready for him to move in your life. Because God can do that. Woo! You guys good? Yeah. Come on, I want to give Jesus a shout of praise. You know, I gave a teenager a prophecy at camp this week. And God spoke to me and he said, you need to tell this young man this word, because if you don't, it's going to affect where he goes in life. And I gave this word and I said, young man, you've gotten familiar with God. You've gotten familiar with church. You've gotten familiar with your faith. You take it for granted that you've been saved. You take it for granted that Jesus saved you, that he called you, that he positioned you in a great family, in a great church, in a great youth group. And I challenged him. I said, oh, I love you. I'm sorry if this may come across too strong, but I'm more scared of God than I am of you. So I'm delivering this word. And that's the word I believe for this season of our church. word for today, God put on my heart. He said, let's leave today with a posture of hunger. Let's leave today with a posture of expectation. Let's leave today throwing off the chains of familiarity and complacency before God. Let's leave excited, ready for God to move and move in our lives and in our hearts. Because the Bible says that anything is possible with Jesus. But He needs your faith. But you need to be in a position ready for the possibility of Jesus. Let's not be a town where Jesus comes and we have nothing. And God's trying to move in your life, in my life, in all of our lives. But He's coming and He's looking and He's saying, nobody's ready to receive. The alignment's all off. They're hunchbacks. I don't know what's happening. I'm trying to pour out the breakthrough in your life. I'm trying to pour out the miracle. I'm trying to pour favor and blessing. But the positioning and the posture is all, the faith's not there. All they're going to do is speak negatively about what I spoke and ruin it. Come on, I know this is quite challenging, but I tell you what, I'm so passionate about this. I always try and live a life passionate about Jesus, passionate about what He can do. Remembering when I first got saved, how excited I was, how thankful I was, how grateful I was. Never taking an opportunity to preach for granted either. Always coming before God and saying, thank you, God. What are you going to do today? Because God, with God, anything is possible. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
I believe that with all my heart. And the truth is right now, God is speaking right now. Right here and right now, God is speaking. But what are you thinking about right now? Are you thinking about this, that, and the other? Or are you fixating your thoughts on Jesus? During worship, what do? You look to the left or the right, see what's going on around you, check your phone, or are you in a posture that's going to win the victory? That's what we do in worship. God, you're going to win this battle. God, we're going to climb this mountain together. God, I'm not getting tired. I'm worshiping you right now because I need breakthrough. I need a miracle. I need your favor. I love it.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.